Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Stop Child Abuse Now. This is Scan, if believe it or not, 2,558. I am Penelope Bennis, your host for this evening. On the show with me, my co-host, Charlie. And we have a very robust panel this evening. I see Bob from Australia. I see Katarina from Canada. As you know, NASCA, which stands for the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, is an international nonprofit 501c3 organization with an international reach. So I wish to welcome you all this evening. It is Wednesday, 3rd, 2020. This is, as you know, NASCA, and it is special guest night. So, as you know, tonight we have a special guest, and I wish to introduce in a little more detail, but our special guest tonight is Lisa Hardiman from Beaver Creek, Ohio. I will review a little bit more about Lisa and briefly introduce her via her bio in a moment about NASCA. NASCA, as I mentioned, which stands for the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, is about child abuse trauma, prevention, intervention, recovery. And regarding NASCA's mission statement, and I'm very proud to be a member of NASCA, because we have a single purpose. It's to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violence and physical abuse, emotional traumas and neglect, and we do so with only two goals. First, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, which is abbreviated CSA, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. And the second goal being offering hope and healing through numerous paths, including this show, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. So if you're just listening and you're not sure whether or not you wish to call in or not, I would urge you to call in, even if this is your first time calling in. My co-host, Charlie, will greet you, and he will discuss with you your options, whether or not you wish just to list questions by being an active panel member. That phone number to call in is area code 646-595. 2118. Again, I'll repeat it. The area code is 646-595-2118. Before I introduce our very special guest tonight, I'd like to talk a little bit about the structure of this show, since it is special guest night. So after I introduce our special guest and give you a little bit of background via the bio that she so graciously presented us with, we will then break up the show into three increments, each about 15 to 20 minutes. So the show will be broken up into about three parts. The first will be to have her discuss, really we go over chronologically, so her childhood and her early years. We will then break to the panel, and the panel will have an opportunity to ask her a question. And then we'll go back, and she'll have an opportunity to tell us a little bit more about her middle years. And then hopefully we'll have time for a panel discussion, and then obviously what she's doing and how she's doing today. So without further ado, I would like to introduce our very special guest. I'm not butchering her name. It's abbreviated. Her nickname is Lisa, but it's actually Marlise or Marlisa Hardiman. And as I mentioned, she's from Beaver Creek, Ohio. She's a child abuse survivor who refers to herself as a victor. From 5 years old to her teenage years, Lisa was mentally, emotionally, sexually, and physically abused. At 16, while she was babysitting for a family friend, she was once again sexually assaulted when the man of the house, there's a lot more of her bio that I could read, but I am going to stop there. And I'll introduce now our very special guest. I'm turning on your mic, Lisa. And Lisa, good evening. This is Penelope.
Good evening, Penelope. How are you?
I hope that I did not mispronounce your name. Can you give me the proper appropriate spelling of your first name? Does it look so pretty?
It's Marlise.
Marlise. Do you prefer Marlise or Lisa?
I go by both, so I don't know that I really have a preference. I just kind of answer to whatever people call me, so it's not going to offend me either way.
Okay, well, thank you. So it's Marlise or Lisa, but let's say that the best way is to pronounce it correctly, because I don't think that I did when I introduced you, so I do apologize for that, because I like to pronounce people's names correctly. So I love Marlise. I've never heard that name before. I think it's a beautiful name. So I'm going to refer to you as Marlise during the show. So I wish to thank you on behalf of NASCA and my co-host, Charlie, to thank you for being our special guest this evening. And if it's okay, I'd like to turn it over to you if you'd like to start telling us your story. And as I mentioned, I like to start in the early years just so I can get a picture of your life from when you were born, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. From probably as far back as I can remember, I was born to what I want to call a very dysfunctional family. My father was definitely physically abusive to my mother. He never hit us. I never remember him yelling or screaming at us, but he would, if my mom didn't have dinner done on time, turn over tables. If we weren't dressed appropriately, it would mean that he physically assaulted my mother. For lack of better words, he beat her to a pulp for anything and everything. And one of his major problems is my mother is very light-skinned, and he is very dark-skinned. My sister, my older sister, is dark-skinned, but when I was born, I was very light-skinned, so he felt that she had had an affair and I was a product of that affair, which made him continuously angry. And he took that out on her. And after her experiencing that abuse for probably the first 4 to 5 years of my life, I remember one night what we did was what I call the great escape. We got in the car in the middle of the night. You know, everybody got one suitcase, what you could carry, and we got in the car and we left and we moved to the town that was probably about an hour away from our residence at that point. We moved with my mother's friend and her husband and her children. And we moved from what would be considered a very middle-class family. My father owned a record shop, ice cream stand. So we were, his family was, I want to say, we had enough that we never wanted for anything. And we moved to a family that, when I say was impoverished, that would have been putting it lightly. So it was a very different environment than what we were used to, but at least we were safe, or as we thought we were safe. So my mom spent a lot of time trying to find employment because she didn't have any marketable skills because she was a stay-at-home mother. And so while she was out, the first year, I want to say, when we were safe, we might have been hungry. We might not have gotten new clothes, but we all felt a little safer than what we did when we were with our father. When I turned 7, things quickly changed. I can remember on my 7th birthday was the first time since we had left my dad that I actually got anything new that hadn't been passed down from kid to kid because I was the youngest, so I got everybody's room down. It was actually something new. We had a birthday party. I can remember it was probably, it was the highlight of, you know, what life was like now. But when the party was over, the one thing we did do was we were clean. And everybody had to take their turn in the bathroom getting ready for bed. And when it was my turn, I can remember going up to the bathroom and starting my bath water because being the youngest, even though it was my birthday, I was the one who got to go first, you know, get the bath out of the way, get ready to bed first. And so when I went in and I started the water in the tub, and I can remember it running, and then I heard a sound like turning on the doorknob. And at first I thought, well, I must have left the door unlocked. And so I went to lock, put the chain or the lock on the door. And I can remember pushing up against the door. And I remember because the force was so heavy that it pushed me up against the tub, and I actually cut my head, and I still have a bruise, not a bruise, but a scar from that accident to this day. And so when I fell back, I remember the husband of my mother's friend coming into the bathroom, and as I was trying to reach for my clothes, because I didn't have any single one, he was snatching them out of my hand, and his response to me was, "You're old enough now." And he pushed me down, and I can remember hitting the ground, and where I fell was almost directly underneath the toilet seat. And I can remember the pungent odor of urine. And I can remember him saying, "Don't say a word or they'll come and get you. And you'll never see your mom again." And at that point, I laid there as he physically assaulted a very innocent, very bewildered child. And I struggle with being really graphic with this. I'll just say I lay there for hours, and when he was done, I laid in a pool of blood. And I can remember him grabbing me by my hair, saying again, "If you say anything, they'll come and take you away from your mother. And you'll never see her again." And him leaving the bathroom. Climbed into the tub, and I took a bath, and then I can remember cleaning my own blood up. Crawling through the house with upstairs to my bed and just laying there and just sobbing. And it did not, I hope, that was one time, but this continued for 2 years. And it was literally on a weekly basis where he was assaulting me. And at first I couldn't tell my mother because I knew what she had already been through. And I could, you already know someone is fragile. And so I never said anything to her. I would hear, but I did know that my mother's friend knew, because I would hear her arguing with her husband late into the night, and I would hear my name come up. And they would argue. And when the arguing finally stopped, he didn't stop. He didn't stop assaulting me. But what did happen is she started being abusive to me with things like, if I was the last one in to wash my hands for lunch, she would make me stand and watch everyone eat, and then I would have to eat the leftovers off their plate. There were times when I would get in trouble because my room wasn't clean, or my area, because I shared a room with my sister. But my side of the room wasn't clean, and she would make me sit in a hind catcher's position for hours. And if I cried, she would stuff rags in my mouth. So it was a very, very abusive situation. Out of that, the oldest daughter, Pam, and I believe God sends angels or people who are willing to stand in the gap and do what they can, because I really believe she knew what was going on and may have even been a victim of it herself. But she would, as often as she could, take me to work with her so that I would be safe until my mother got home.
So this is the friend of your mother whose husband was assaulting you, and she was on one hand punishing you, but on the other hand she was taking you with it. I'm sorry, I just want to make sure that we're all following the story.
Okay. My mother's friend, because I'm trying not to give names because I don't want my mother to,
right.
You know, I'm still, you know, of all the people, she is even in, I feel like she's innocent, and I don't want her to end up feeling like I'm like, you did this. So I'm trying to protect names, but her daughter was the one who was taking me to work. So the husband was assaulting me, and the mother was abusing me, and
right,
the daughter was trying to get me to work because I can even, at one point, they made me walk home. She would make me walk home in the winter when it was below zero. And, like, I have nerve damage to my hands today because my hands got so frostbitten that they literally had to take me to the emergency room because they at one point thought, well, her hands aren't going to make it, you know. They're too damaged, but she would do all kinds of unacceptable things to me as a way of punishing me for what her husband was doing. She
right.
said she couldn't stop him.
There are no words, obviously. You know, to even, you know, pay tribute to what you had experienced. You know, there's just no words. And it sounds like the daughter of this couple had possibly a similar experience, but had some knowledge and had some empathy for you, and would,
yeah,
when she could, you know, try and bring you with her to spare you from some of the things that she probably knew was going on. So I'm sorry, Marlise, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I wanted to make sure that I was clear so that all of us are clear, because this is, your story is so, you're so, you know, obviously it takes so much courage to talk and tell this story, and it's just so, I wanted to make sure all that I was following the details so that we were all following the details correctly. What are your thoughts on taking a break and for me to introduce and to bring on some of our panel members? We have a very robust panel this evening that have called in to support you.
We can definitely take a break and
okay.
and answer some questions or
okay.
just share thoughts.
So, thank you then. Okay. So I'd like to just to let you know who's on the panel right now. We have Bob, who's called in from Australia. He is our Australian ambassador. And also, so we have, as you know, I spoke in the beginning comments of the show, and NASA is an international organization with an international
right.
reach. So we have Canada, Katerina from Canada. We have Bob from Australia. Bob is also not only our Australian ambassador, but also he is the host of our Thursday recovery meeting. As you know, NASCA has three group recovery meetings a week Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Pamela from Louisiana, also an ambassador for, I want to say, Alabama. She's an ambassador and also a host, a fellow host on the NASCA show. We have Charlie Stecker, my co-host this evening. We have Katarina from Canada. And we have Beth from Florida. And I have yet to meet Beth. So if Beth, if I'm not, and Katarina, if you have roles to NASCA that I'm not addressing, please do, when you introduce yourself, correct me and let us know. But I'm now going to bring on Bob from Australia. So, good evening, Bob. You are on, it's Penelope, you're on with Marlise.
G'day, Lisa, and g'day, Penelope, and g'day, Charlie, and g'day to all the beautiful NASCA people out there. It's 11:25 in the morning on Christmas Eve here. I am your future.
Wow.
And
yes.
I can't do anything about the background noise because it's raining, and you've got to love the rain. The rain in Queensland is just awesome. But, what I would like to share in response to Lisa's sharing, what you've been through must have been really hard for you. And as a counselor myself, and through my connection with NASCA and other sort of self-help organizations, I've listened to probably thousands of people sharing the stories about the wounds of their childhood. And because we're all unique, all the stories are unique, but they're also, there's a commonality in all of them. And that common ground that unites us all is that we were born innocent, and that innocence was beaten out of us. We were abused. We were abused, and it was not our fault. And so, you know, you're not alone, Lisa. It's not a global pandemic. I cannot imagine a child in any Western family growing up that had all their developmental emotional needs met. You know, it only takes one moment. You slap your kid once and there's that look of terror in their eyes, or you shout at them, you know, and they're terrified, and that's the moment the damage is done. And it doesn't matter whether it's physical, sexual, intellectual, spiritual abuse. It is, you know, it is abuse. But where I'm coming from is that we're all victims, and thank you, Lisa, for sharing your story, because you, like millions of others, are crossing that threshold and breaking the multi-generational cycle of abuse. Because it's time for us no longer to divide and conquer and point the finger. It's time for us to unite and thrive in our commonality. So thanks, Lisa. And just let you know, you're not alone. And if you want to come down to the NASCA Zoom meeting, you're more than welcome. Or if you want to connect with me on Facebook, it's Bob Eden. Thank you, Penelope, for letting me share.
Thank you, Bob. And you can see why Bob helped others in such a, you know, poignant and significant and special way that he does host our recovery meetings on Thursdays. And Marlise, I didn't know if you had any remarks for Bob.
I just want to agree that by breaking the silence, that is my goal, that if I open up and tell my story, I give permission for other people to do the same thing and to begin to allow that healing to take place. And And, you know, that's one of my honestly biggest fears about COVID-19 is that it has trapped so many people and so many children in a situation where nobody sees what's going on. So they're less likely to get the help that they need.
Precisely, Lisa. And I'll just say that what I've come to realize is that by each and every one of us sharing our stories, we help to heal each other. We are all in this together, aren't we, eh, darling? Love you. I'll
yeah.
shut up now.
You don't need to shut up, Bob. Every time that I hear you speak, I get a smile on my face, and you're so uplifting. So thank you, and we will come back to Bob in our next round. Hopefully we will have one, but time is flying. We're already at 58 minutes. I'll tell you, Marlies, 90 minutes seems like a really long time. I'm quoting my co-host, Charlie, right now, but it goes by very quickly. We're already zooming into the final hour of the show. So I am now going to bring on Pamela. Pamela, another NASCA. Pamela, hi, you're on with Marlies.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Hi, Marlies.
Hello.
Marlies. Hi.
I'm here.
It's Pamela.
Hi, Pamela.
Hi. I am wanting to say thank you for coming on the show. And my question is, your mother didn't have a hint of what was going on, and why didn't the friend, if she's a friend to your mother, why didn't she come to your mother as a friend and, you know, and let her know what was happening with the husband?
I'm going to... And this is only a guess because I've never really had that discussion. Because of what happened in my middle years after the abuse occurred and she was able to finally get a job and we moved away, and we never, ever, went there for Christmas or Thanksgiving or any holidays. We broke all communication. I really believe my mother did know to some degree what was going on. I think she, and I hate to say it like that, she sacrificed me. You know, we got to have a place to live and we got to, you know, and we're running away. So it was, I believe she sacrificed me. And her friend telling her, I think she sacrificed me. I mean, that sounds so horrible. But I think for their own reasons, both of them decided it was, I was an acceptable loss.
So the husband had power and control, and they were more or less afraid of him to say anything, is what it meant.
Right.
Been.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's
they didn't
want to
rock the boat. Yeah.
You're right.
If they would have, he could have come after them as well, you know. So there was some fear there, probably, major fear of this guy. I mean, was he? You said he did he beat up his wife?
No, I mean I can remember him having arguments with her, but he was the only breadwinner at the time, so I'm sure she feared him leaving and taking his income with him, and then her not being able to provide at all for her children. And
oh, okay.
So, you know, and my mother being afraid because she's been abused. So she's looking at life through, you know, the lenses of victimization herself. So I think it just was an acceptable thing. You know, we all have to, and feeling like it was like, you know, we all have to give up something. So right. If it's her and that's it, we'll accept it.
Thank you, Marlise. We have several guests, so I don't want to take up all your time. But thank you,
okay.
For instance.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Pamela. We'll come back to Pamela next round. So I'm going to now introduce my co-host to you. I know that you spoke earlier, Marlise. Charlie, you're on Marlise and myself. Hi.
Hello. Good evening, Marlise, and good evening, Penny, and the rest of the panelists. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. Marlise, I believe I see you call yourself a victor, and there's a word that I learned a few years ago. I used to call myself a victor as well. And then someone who's been in child abuse intervention and prevention for the better part of 5 decades, his entire life, he's in his 70s now, turned me on to a word called transcend. And he calls those of us who are doing what you're doing and I'm doing and many others, transcenders. And when I looked that up, it's actually even more powerful than victor. So I'm going to invite you tonight to think about adopting that name and look up and research it, transcender, because that's what you are based off what I'm reading here and what you're doing with your life. And thank you so much for everything you are doing and for being here this evening and sharing yourself so openly with us, Marlise. I truly appreciate that.
I love that title. I love that.
Well, just to give you a little insight, I'm in the midst of working on a superhero for children that's going to be known as Transcender Man, or just the Transcender, so we don't have we may not have to worry about the man part. And it's going to be be a gnome with a superhero gnome, and we're in the middle of creating it, actually creating the costume and the gnome and then some children's books and whatnot for it. So, but I'm really excited. I said this to you prior to the show. You know, I didn't say this part. We say, well, we're really excited to have you here tonight. And I'm excited to hear where you are today based off of where you could have been, off of what happened to you. But I do, as I said before the show started, I do look forward to that day when we go to look for a special guest. And we are having a really hard time finding them because we have adults who aren't growing up to be adult survivors of child abuse. We've been able to slow that down. But in the meantime, it wasn't that long ago, Marlise, and you probably remember this. I'm not sure of your age, and I don't need to know it. But it wasn't that long ago that our voices were silenced and kept silent. And now it shows like NASCA and organizations, right? And shows like NASCA and organizations like NASCA bring a platform for us to come and have our voices heard, listened to, and even acted upon. So welcome to the family, sis. You gained another brother today and a bunch of other brothers and sisters, and look forward to more of what you have to share with us. I truly appreciate you.
Well, thank you, and I feel welcome.
Oh, thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome. Thank you, Pam.
So we'll come back to Charlie the next round. And I now am going to bring on Katarina from Canada. I can press her microphone button. My fingers are cold. They're not working on my... Katarina, you're on with Marlise. This is Penelope, of course. How are you?
I'm good, Penelope. Just short of words. I mean, I'm just in shock, to be honest, to hear the story. And, you know, before I begin, I want to say thank you, Penelope, and thank you, Charlie, and everyone on the show for participating. You guys are amazing. And as for you, Lisa, I just want to have a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul conversation and let you know that, you really changed my world tonight with your story. You're so brave and you're so strong and you're so smart, incredibly intelligent. It's just your story is heartbreaking. To know that a child that's so vulnerable in an environment that's supposed to be trusting, where they're being taken advantage of, it is heartbreaking. And also the fact that you're trying to, you were trying to protect your mom, and, you know, you went to bed in silence on your birthday, the day that was supposed to be the most important day of that year. It's heartbreaking. Like, this shouldn't be happening. And I always go back to, sure, we've been abused. Okay, true. You know, adults are survivors of abuse and they repeat the abuse. But as adults, we have a choice not to repeat the abuse. It is still a choice. Yes. I do believe that. So your mom's friend, her husband, they had a choice and they still chose to abuse you because they saw a beautiful child that they could take advantage of. Most likely they were narcissistic in some ways. They were right. caught up in their own world. They were traumatized, and it's not fair and it's not right. And this is why your voice tonight, it echoes. It echoes in a way that tells people that are listening that it's not right and this is still a choice. If you grew up in abuse, you can stop the cycle. Get counseling. Figure your life out. Do some inner work. There's YouTube out there. There are books out there. Figure it out. Don't repeat the cycle. And I'm so sorry you had to go through that. But I mean, I was crying a couple of times when I was listening to you because I just couldn't believe that it was happening to you. And multiple times, not just once, multiple times. And then being abused by his wife, who's supposed to be your mom's friend, what a betrayal that is. I mean, you know what? There's no excuse for that. People like that need to be put in jail, or they need to be getting counseling. They need to figure it out. It doesn't matter. You were a child. So all the power to you for speaking up. And I love your story. And I'm so grateful that you came on tonight because you truly changed my world. So thank you.
Well, now I'm crying. Thank you, Katarina. Marley.
Oh, my God, group hug. Personal group hug.
Yes.
Yeah, I love you. You're so strong. You know, because I guess another thing I'll say is a lot of us experience pain and we don't have the words to put it in. Like, we don't have the words. We don't know the language. So we get stuck. But when we hear each other's stories, it's almost like a part of us opens up and liberation right. comes about, and then the strength comes about. So you're the strength for us. Thank you for being the strength. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Oh, that was beautiful, Katarina.
Yeah.
And I think this is exactly the both of you, as I'm listening in as the host, and I know our panel members are listening in, and anybody else who's called and is listening in on the stand. This is why we're a family. Because there is this commonality and understanding. We don't all have the same experiences. But from what I heard Katarina saying, as Marlies is telling us her story, we're holding space with you. Stand on a certain level, and we can empathize. So thank you, Katarina, and I know I will have one more opportunity at least to come back around. So I'm going to put you back on mute temporarily.
And I'm going to bring on Beth from Florida. And Beth, you are on with Marlise. This is Penelope.
Hi, this is Beth. Just want to say it's a quite a long road to go from being a victim to survivorship, and you're on your way. And it's the biggest thing to do is to talk about it, and I'm so sorry for what you went through. It's no kid should ever go through anything like that. And talking about it is probably one of the best things that you can do. And you seem to be doing really well. And I know it's not easy to talk about to a therapist, let alone in a group setting. But it's the best thing that you can do for yourself. And I'm proud of you. It's you got to do it for yourself. You got to push yourself to do it, and you'll be okay. And it's just you should have never been hurt. No one should have ever touched you. No one should have ever done those types of things to you. And the people that do it are monsters. And it's just I still deal with some of them today, and they know that I'm an advocate, and I get targeted because of it. And that's okay, because I know it helps. I know it helps kids and them stay protected. And I'm a big mouth when it comes to all of this, and I don't hide how I feel about somebody hurting a child. And it's the best thing that you can do. It's very healing, actually, to do it also, to protect a child. But you have to protect yourself. And you have to be in a particular place to be able to do that. Because people will say a lot of terrible things about you. But it's worth it because you know you're helping other people. And you'll get there one day. Just keep doing what you're doing. Make sure you're talking about it. And just know it's not your fault. What you did had nothing to do with you. That was the adult that did that. You don't own it. Put the onus back on the person that did it to you. And that will help you heal also. And I want to give you a hug. A subliminal head. I wish you the best in your endeavor. And you'll be fine. Anytime that you feel like you're swaying, you know, just call in, and there's always, you know, there's always room to chat and all of that, so that you can get back to, you know, feeling better again, because you will as you're going along. You may sway, and we all do, we all did, and it's just you'll be okay. And thank you for sharing your story, by the way, too.
Thank you.
And again, I'm so sorry to hear that that happened to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Beth. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Marlise, wow, I think, you know, a few things that really struck me as well as what everybody else has mentioned about your story. It was even in the beginning, you know, you mentioned that your father had this perception when you were born because you were lighter skinned, you know, that he just blamed your mother for possibly, you know, having an affair and he took it out on you, right? The fact that the color of your skin was different. And in a way I actually found that that struck me for a couple of reasons. You know, one, you were born into abuse. That's abuse, obviously.
Yeah.
Your father, you know, you were born into it. He rejected you in a sense, and that just really, I mean, from the moment you said that, it just I got a knot, you know, in my stomach for you. And I can relate to that. I'm Greek and Lebanese. We're actually in our culture, the lighter skinned is more. Better, I guess, is more anyway that, you know, they're all different shades, right? So when one of my sons was born, my father-in-law said he's dark, you know, it just was very disappointed in me. And that just struck me, not at the level of it from you, but this is your story. But I just think that, I mean, a child is a child is a child. And you know,
yeah.
The way you were born, what you look like is not your fault, right?
Right.
You were born to be loved. So that really struck me. And I think the other thing that also that struck me was that, you know, I think it's really hard to parent your parent, and the fact that you felt after the first assault in the bathroom that you had to protect your mother. Just the impact on a child of having to protect their parent. A child should never have to parent their parent.
Right.
Even though your intentions were right. That's horrible, right? Children should be
right.
What best ever, and you should have been protected, not being the one protecting others. And I think that takes such a toll.
It does.
So I think you're amazing. You are amazing. I mean, when I heard, you know, from the moment that you were born and just already were at, you know, a little bit past age 7 in your life, you are truly amazing. So I wanted to, I know, believe it or not, we're at 38 minutes left. Can you believe it? Just time just flies. But
yes.
I want to read a little bit more of your bio and then before we begin the next segment, because I love what you wrote. You said, today, I dance in the light of my life, not as a victim, but as a victor. I have learned to not only forgive my perpetrators, but to forgive myself. I have learned to move past my pain, not by pretending it never happened, but by drawing strength from it because it happened. I just thought that was so profound. And there was even, I could read more, and I just love your words, but I'm going to allow you to own your own story. And so with that, I give you the floor.
Okay, I'm going to try to mix, hit both that middle and that end at the same time. So I'm going to abbreviate some things. After my mother finally got on her feet, we did move out, and things were better. Until I decided at 16 I would start babysitting for a friend of ours, well, actually another friend of my mother's, and got in a situation where I was raped again by the husband of my mother's friend the night of her birthday, because it was a birthday celebration. And that abuse, because it was so violent and so heartbreaking, left me in a very, very bad place where I literally slept with a knife underneath my pillow. I was taking drugs to get up to go to sleep. I was very angry, very bitter, doing a lot of self-destructive behavior, stealing, engaged, believe it or not, in a lot of dangerous, promiscuous activities with people that I knew, you know, could lead me to death. Because they were those type of people. But I had angels, and I go back to those angels started appearing in my life because my godfather is a bishop. And he, after he watched me cycling down, although he wasn't sure why, he began spending a lot of extra time with me, even though he had 7 kids of his own. You know, he began picking me up from school and making sure I went to school and just trying to get me through as best he could. I had a teacher, and I actually teach now because of him. And my senior year, he was like, you know, you're too smart to just waste away. I don't know what's going on. I don't want to know, but I'm going to make sure you go to college. And that is exactly what he did. The more I fought against it, the more he would invest himself in, like, bring my homework when I got kicked out because I was skipping school. He'd bring my homework to my home, drop it off, come back, pick it up, and deliver it to the teachers so he could make sure, you know, I had a GPA that would let me go to college. When I got to college, and never, none of these people ever took from me. They all poured into me. Once I got to college, I met my husband, and I mean, knight in shining armor would be putting it like he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't cuss. He was the captain of the football team. I somehow ended up cheerleading, and he would literally take me out where I wanted to go, and like stand there and say, "You can dance with her, but you better not touch her," and make sure I got home. So he protected me while I was still crazy. And finally we got married, and after a while he was like, "You are too crazy even for me." And not in my culture, we don't go to counselors, we go to church. I mean, that sounds crazy. But that's what the African American culture does. When you need help, go to church. And my pastor, my former pastor, and spent a lot of time reading books with me, walking through the 12-step program with me, and allowing me to pour out all of that pain, all of that hurt, and be a quiet sounding board who not only fed what was spiritually missing for me, but healing, helping me to regain my footing so that I could live a healed, like, existence and put all of my pain into its proper perspective and to understand there was life after the hurt, that I didn't just have to live that life forever. I speak for Project Woman before the pandemic, because now they do a lot of virtual. I do a lot of talking with women one-on-one about what it means to survive and then move to a point where you're thriving, because I really feel like that's where I am. I'm in the process. I found another friend, and she is, she's authored several books, so she's going to co-write with me, because to keep me focused as I write, because I don't want to get stuck in the trauma, that I never bring into the hope that, yeah, you know, you can survive this. You don't have to live ashamed. You don't have to live bitter. You don't have to live angry. So we're writing a book together, my story, and bringing people all the way through it, to, from victim to victor. Or and I, for matter of fact, the website that I wrote, I gave you for my profile, that's actually from my website that's called Transformation Speaks. I go into prisons, I've been in schools, universities, just sharing that whole idea that whatever trauma is to you, because trauma can be different for different people, but it still is trauma, that you don't have to stay there, that you can own your own life. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm in that point where I'm owning my life, so I want to give back to other people and bring them to a point of ownership. Because when you own your life, you don't continue the cycle of abuse. I have 5 children, and I have 4, thank God. I have 4 wonderful boys and 1 wonderful daughter, and I try to instill into them that you have to own your own life. You can't allow other outside people to, even though you can't control what they do to you, you can control how it affects you. So I try to kind of wrap all that in there to give us another opportunity.
Wow. You are amazing. And you are a mother of 5.
Uh-huh.
And I actually did send you a friend request on Facebook. I did see the page that you referred to. And I did, I also liked the butterfly up at the top of your page. I love the symbolism.
This, you know, and this is interesting. About 5 or 6 years ago, a woman that I met on Facebook, we had one conversation, and she told me she actually designed that logo, and I kind of changed the colors, but the butterfly and all of that, and even the words transformation speaks, that whole idea came out of her. She said that after talking to me, she knew I needed it. And at the point, I was like, I'm not feeling sharing nothing with nobody. And she said, and she had told me, she's like, one day you will. And that logo, she sent it to me. And a couple of years, about 2 years ago, I was like, oh, I know what I'm supposed to do with it. So that's where it actually came from. It was amazing.
That is amazing. It's perfect. It's perfect. So while we were actually, right as you we began this next segment, we actually have 2 additional panel members that have called in. We have such a robust panel for you, Marlise. You are definitely commanding quite a big panel. So I see, if I look at the number, I believe that we have Darlene from Tennessee who's joined us. She's an ambassador for Alabama, and then I believe it's William. So I know my co-host Charlie's on with Darlene right now, but how would you feel about me going back to the panel and doing another round of the panel at this point?
That would be great.
Okay, well, then I'm going to start, because Charlie's on with Darlene and welcoming Darlene, and I believe it's William. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to bring on Bob from Australia. So, Bob, it's Penelope. You're back on with Marlise.
Thank you so much. I've just been out dancing naked in the rain and splashing in all the puddles because I'm just a big big kid at heart. But, what can I say? One realization I've come to in my own journey is that a child that's being abused does not stop loving its parents. It stops loving itself. and right. you know, yeah. But where I am now, and for me, the stages in my own recovery quickly were I was born innocent and magical. So I call that stage one, innocence. And that probably lasted about 6 months. And then I became a victim of abuse in my childhood. And that lasted from about 6 months to about 14 years when I could start to stand up for myself. And then after being a victim, I went into survivor mode, which I did from 14 years to about 38. And then I went into recovery mode from 38 to about 52, 54. And then the final stage for me was, and I, Charlie called it transcendence or trans, you know, but for me that stage was, for me that stage is contentment because I've healed the wounds of my childhood. And now all I do in my life now is I take full responsibility for it. And I consciously choose, I know that what I radiate, I create. And so I constantly
right.
choose to radiate joy. And that's all I have to do. And it's not hard. It's not complicated. It doesn't need a lot of mind space to do that. I just simply radiate joy. And that's my job. And yeah, I'm having a lot of fun doing it. So keep up the good work, Lisa. And thank you, Penelope and Johnny and Darlene and Uncle Tom Cobbley and all, and Uncle Tom Cobbley and all.
See, Marlise, you are so special. You get a song from Bob, which doesn't happen every show that I have Bob on the panel. So I appreciate it, Wendy. He's got a great voice. So thank you, Bob. And I love the way that you described your chrysalis, right, during your life and all the different stages to when you emerged
yeah.
as your butterfly. How's that for tying into your butterfly theme? No, but thank
yeah.
you. That is beautiful. That transcendence
yeah.
To where you are, Bob. So thank you, Bob. I'm going to put you back on mute, and I'm going to bring on our Pamela, our other NASCA host and ambassador. Pamela, you are back
Hi.
On with Mark. Hi.
Hi. This is really a good
Hi.
Show. Hi. who am I talking to now? Marlise?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or Penelope? Okay. I just wanted to ask... how's your relationship with your mother and your children? I mean, I'm sure they all know about this now and your work and your book that's coming out. How are they reacting to it? You don't have to go into a lot of detail, but I mean, I would hope that your mother validates you now, you know, validates your story, believes your story.
My mother, she believes this story, and when I first told her, she just cried and kept apologizing, and it broke my heart because I had spent most of my life trying to protect her and telling her I watched it do exactly what I knew that it would do, which was really hurtful to a degree I couldn't imagine to explain. Even it because I can handle my hurt, but I couldn't handle her hurt. If that makes sense. I did realize in order for me to do what I'm doing, I needed to forewarn her. My boys and my husband and my daughter all like, Mommy, go for it. You know, if you can make a difference, go for it. So their support, definitely. I didn't get a lot of questions. They listened. And I waited until my youngest son was like 17. So it wasn't like I told them when they were children and they couldn't really grasp it. I waited until I did all the mothering and the maturing before, you know, I opened up and I even began to walk this aisle.
Well, what happened in my life was, and I think you might be similar with yours, is that I repressed my memories for so long, and I kept thinking that would be, you know, okay. But at some point, I had to start healing, and I didn't realize that. I thought forgiveness was healing. Forgiveness is part of a healing, but it's not the healing. And so, you know, when I started to really need to be healed, I couldn't keep it from my mother. That was part of my healing, to know who was complicit and knowing what happened to me. And it turned out, I never thought she knew, but it turned out she knew since it started happening. The whole time. And that was, but God brought me to a place of being able to accept that. You know what I'm saying? I was ready. He prepared me.
Yeah.
He didn't just throw it at me at a time I couldn't handle it. He prepared me first. And so, it all works to good to those who love the Lord, doesn't it?
Yes.
So that's all. I just wanted to ask you about your.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. So I'm going to bring on now Katarina from. Actually, I'm sorry. I'm skipping over Charlie. I'm sorry, Charlie. I'm going to actually go to Charlie real quickly. Or my host. I clear you.
Oh, that's okay. You don't have to be sorry, Charlie, because only good tasting tuna gets to be star kit. But it's all good. And again, I want to give time to the rest of the panel. You have drawn quite the panel tonight, Marlise. I got to. I give a lot of credit to Penelope. It's not easy handling such a large panel with our special guests and. Both of you are doing just amazing. So, Marlise, I'm going to sit back and listen a little longer and maybe get in, although we are rapidly closing in on the end, aren't we? Wow, time is sure flying. Well, maybe we'll get in a few minutes at the end, or a few seconds at the end just to say a pleasant good night. But thank you for sharing yourself. Also, Marlise, thank you for accepting my Facebook social network friend request. I appreciate that, and I look forward to interacting with you there.
I as well.
And when you're ready to release your book, I don't know if you have anybody helping you with getting it published and put out there, but if you need that, you need any guidance towards that, I have a place I can send you where it won't cost you anything, and you don't have to buy any books in advance.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So okay, yep. I will set you up with all that, and we'll get you rolling, okay? No, and there's no fees involved.
Awesome. Thank you, Charlie. That sounds like a great connection and a great timing as well. I'm going to bring on Katarina again from Canada. Katarina, you're back on with Marlise.
Thank you, Penelope. Marlise, while you were talking, I was checking you out on the web, and I definitely do want to add you on Facebook, but also, with your permission, I would like to read an excerpt from your LinkedIn because I'm blown away. So is it okay if I read a little bit from your LinkedIn page?
Oh, yes. You are welcome to.
Okay. So as I walked into the hospital, I could feel my anger begin to boil up inside. I wondered if I had made the right choice to come to the hospital and see the man that had destroyed my future. I struggled to move forward when all I wanted to do was turn and run away. I mustered all the strength I could find and decided to press forward. As I got closer to his room, I proposed to face the man responsible for stealing my innocence and casting my life into a pit of darkness. I wanted to stare into the eyes of the man who had robbed me of a life of joy and happiness and left me half dead with a void of life inside of me. My mind began to race as I drew closer to his room. What did he want with me? Did he care what he had done to me? Was I alone, or was it just one of the many he had the misfortune of meeting him? Why me? Why me? Are the questions that began to run across my mind, like an out-of-control tire running downhill. So I'll end there. But basically, from what I have read, is that you go into the hospital, you have all these turbulent feelings inside of you, as any victim would. And then eventually, on his deathbed, while he's sick and frail, he asks you to come closer. And then he apologizes because he had realized that he did something wrong. And that's a pivotal moment when our abusers actually do realize. But sometimes it takes years or decades to come, and sometimes it never comes. So I just want to say, first of all, you're an amazing writer. You can definitely write a book. I would love to read it. And I would love to promote it for sure, too. But this is incredible. And this is what I'm talking about, soul-to-soul, heart-to-heart type conversations that the world is absolutely needing right now. We need to hear your voice. So keep at it. Thank you for everything that you're doing. And you're incredible. You really are unique. And I'm so grateful to have met you tonight on the show. So, honestly, thank you so much. If anyone wants to check Marlise out, she is Marlise Hardiman and life transformation speaker. Definitely someone you want to be checking out. So, anyone listening in, it's an absolute pleasure to have you, Marlise. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katarina. That was awesome. And Marlise, I think you've got your audiobook voice done, right?
She's awesome.
She is awesome, as you can see. I'm going to bring Beth back on from Florida, and I'm going to actually, I hate to do this, we're at 11 minutes left, can you believe it? And I would love to introduce you to Darlene, our ambassador from Alabama, I believe it is, and William. So, Beth, I'm going to bring on your mic, and I'm going to actually say if we can keep this down to, 2 minutes. That would be great. So, Beth, you're back on with Marlise.
Sure, absolutely. I just want to commend you, because I think one of the hardest things of being abused is, I don't know why, but it seems like when a mom finds out about it and you find out that she knew from the beginning, I think that's probably the hardest cross to bear, is accepting the fact that she knew and didn't do anything about it. It's such a love-hate relationship, and it's tumultuous. And for you to accept that and to move on with her in your life and to love her, I think that is just, that's power that most people don't have until later on in life. And if they ever have that with a parent, such as a mom that knew about it while the abuse was happening, because it's very tragic, and you have overcome that, and that is tremendous. You have great strength, and you've done wonderful things to help other people, and I thank you. I just truly, truly commend you and thank you.
Oh, thank you, Beth.
You guys are making me blush.
Thank you, Beth. So well stated.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to introduce you now, Marlise, to Darlene. Darlene, I'm turning on your mic. Darlene from Tennessee, who's our, I believe, Alabama ambassador.
I'm the ambassador for Tennessee, yeah.
Oh, Tennessee, okay. Maybe sometimes you Pam are in Alabama.
I'm in Tennessee. I'm back home.
Right. Right, but sometimes aren't you out of Tennessee? And out, it doesn't matter. Anyway, Tennessee, though.
Yeah, sometimes I visit Alabama, yeah, because I originally came from Alabama. Got my banjo somewhere, you know, so...
So thank you. So anyway, Darlene, you're always Marley. You've now covered some of the our Southern Belt, right? So
you're right. Well, I am just awestruck by you, Marlise.
Thank you.
Are one healing energy that just with the words you speak and on your site and everything at Facebook, what I'm looking at, keep reading over and over and over. It's a real eye-opener, and you feel warm-hearted, and it lets us see into the person you actually are, even with the radio station. You know, I am so glad I got an opportunity to listen to you today, and I look forward to getting to know you more, since I see you at Facebook, if it would let me log in, or, you know, to add you as a friend, but it let me go there straight, but I like that favorite quote. One of your favorite quotes you got, it's not what people think about you, but it's what you think about yourself that matters. I really love it. Yes. And I want to thank you so much for having the courage to come out and speak and heal as much as you are.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darlene. Thank you, Darlene. Yes, Darlene knows it's so much courage to tell your story. And so we're down to about 7 minutes. So, Marlise, I'm going to bring on William from Alabama.
Yeah,
William,
she's doing really good. Marlise? And that's part of the overcoming all that is the courage to overcome all that. And Marlene is doing a great job, I think. So I got to turn it over because I know that we're getting close to the end of the show. So.
Oh, thank you, William. Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree, Marlene.
Thank you, William.
Put you back on mute. And Marlene, it's true. We are at the last six and a half minutes of our show.
Wow, that was so fast.
I know. 90 minutes seems like a long time, and my co-host Charlie says this so eloquently. I'm paraphrasing what he's saying, but it does fly by, and believe it or not. And I know these are what you shared and the subjects that are covered, you know, on the NASCA Stop Child Abuse Now shows are such sensitive subjects. But the time really does fly, and I wouldn't necessarily say we're having fun, but we're definitely being filled by your story in a very positive way. So as we have about 5 minutes left, I would like to turn it. I was going to read the rest of your bio, but I think that would take a lot of time. So I'm going to turn it back over to you for the last couple of minutes if you want to have any final remarks for us on the panel and for those listening in.
I'm overwhelmed. I'm helping people and helping myself was really about healing me from the inside out. And it's overwhelming when you hear like someone say, good job. So I thank you. I mean, you have allowed me to see that what I'm trying to do is not in vain. That it really is meaningful. And I am open to accepting friend requests and Charlie, I definitely will get back with you about when I come to that part that I'm ready to get get published and get that part, that stage done. I mean, I think your entire, I mean, I just, I'm so overwhelmed. I thank God for all of you, because we need more positive people, not just for victims of child, just positive people who are willing to stand up for people who can't stand up for themselves. And I thank you for doing that, because it's not easy. So that,
no.
I mean, it was, I don't know. I'm just overwhelmed.
Well, I think it's understandable, and I think we're all overwhelmed, you know, by you, your story, and your strength, and your courage, and who you are. I'd like to read one last sentence from your bio that really struck me. But this is what you wrote: I have been able to transform my life using my pain as a platform to show women how to live a transformed life, to move beyond their current situation into a place of wholeness, peace, and joy. As a minister, a public speaker, and a teacher. And I would say you definitely exemplified that tonight on the show. With that, we're down to 2 minutes. So I'd like to open up everybody's microphone. And, you know, as I call your name, I would just like you to just give Marlise a word or two of a goodbye. So I am now going to open up Pamela's microphone.
Hello, Marlise. You've been a great inspiration. You've brought much insight. I'm very happy, and I can't wait to read your book. Can you hear me?
Thank you.
Yes, we can. Thank you, Pamela. And I'm going to bring on Katarina. Katarina, you're back on.
Hey, keep up the amazing work. We need you in society. The world has born you for a reason. This is your purpose. And honestly, tonight, you just showed everyone what we have been missing. So keep up the amazing work, and we love you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. You're on with Marlise.
Okay, excellent. I just want to say you have done a tremendous job, and I wish you the best with your book. I wrote a book also, and it's one of the best things you can do for yourself, and sharing it with other people that are experiencing what you're experiencing is probably one of the best things, because it helps other people, especially younger people that are going through it. And for them to hear the story from somebody else, it's just tremendous. And it helps so much. So I just want to thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you, Beth. Hey, Darlene.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing your story and being an inspiration.
Darlene and William.
Yeah, thanks, Marlene, for all you're doing. And I can't wait to hear or read your new book that's coming out. So keep up the good work,
thanks.
Marlene.
Thank you. And Charlie.
First, I just want to say thank you for a wonderful show. Again, Marlise, I wish we didn't have to have these shows, because we don't have people being grown up to be abused. But I'm grateful you were here tonight. You shared your story with us. Welcome to the family. And as I usually sign off when I'm hosting a show, the only adult not responsible for child abuse intervention and prevention is any adult that was never a child. Good night, everyone. And thank you again, Marlise. And great show, Penelope.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. And Marlise, thank you so much. What an amazing show with our special guest, Marlise, this evening. This is Penelope Bennis for NASCA, Stop Child Abuse Now radio blog talk radio show. Thank you for joining us this evening. And good night.
Blog Talk Radio.